have you done, but who have you trusted in what he's done? And that's where it comes in. Have you trusted the blood of our Savior Jesus? And if you haven't, then you can do all the good. You can be all the good. You can, you know, help everybody. You can help down here and be good to your family and all those kind of things. But it just doesn't matter until you know him that paid the price, the penalty for our sins. Amen? Well, I want you to take your Bible with me this morning here for just a bit. Let's look in the book of the Psalms again. I want you to go to the very first Psalm. Psalm number 1. And pretty short, just 6 verses is all that are there for us written when you look at it. Now, the book of Psalms is split up into 5 different sections. They call them books, and I don't know, some Bibles designate that, some don't. Doesn't make any difference, but every book will show you some different things. And you know, it has a different theme or a different look to it as far as looking at some of. And as you think about, you know, you in writing, if you're an English major, you had a little bit of that kind of stuff in your high school or college time when you're looking at the way that things are written. You know, they always say you want to start off and, you know, start off strong and finish up strong. Well, if you look at the book of the Psalms, you'll see that it does exactly that. We all know, I trust, if you've read it and been around much, in the last 5 books of the book of Psalms, all of those Psalms talk about praise ye the Lord. I mean, that's kind of the theme of those last 5 as you go into them. It's about praise and worship. But as you look at the beginning of it, look at how this thing, the first Psalm, starts off with some strength behind it. And notice what the writer said. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the day, and thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the things that we have already heard and seen and felt this morning, and I pray now, God, you just add your blessing to the remaining part of it. Just give us the joy of knowing Jesus and the blessings that you want to bestow, the things you want to show us. Would you just do that for us this morning? Help us, give us direction, give us wisdom, give us the grace and the insight that we need, and just bless us today with a heavenly blessing, and that we know that it goes far beyond the things of men. Lord, we thank you for all the good that you've done for us and the good that you've done to us. But now, Lord, I want to just praise you for who you are and what you've done. And we will give you glory and honor. Save that one that's lost. Speak to that one that needs you today. We'll thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I said, when you begin to read something, you know, somebody begins to start out with their writings and they say, you know, this is what we got and this is where we're going. This is kind of the main thought. Isn't it amazing, and I know that it's just God, that you've got this number one, the Psalm number one, and it talks about blessed is the man. That's the whole point of the entirety of Psalms, is that there's a place and a theme of blessing that comes to us through the worship that you see through this collection of Psalms. As I said, there's 150 of them. As you go through the 150 of them, there are some that, man, you could shout with, and there's some that you probably have to weep with when you're reading through them. And there's some that, man, it takes you to the pinnacle, and some it takes you to the very depths. But, boy, aren't you glad that as this thing starts out, the writer says, what I want you to understand, what I want you to get, is that God wants us to realize there's a way for us to be blessed. As a matter of fact, you think about this very first psalm and the things that are in it. And if you remember the very first sermon as Jesus preaches in Matthew chapter number 5, what does he start out with? What we call the Beatitudes. Blessed are they. And he goes through, you know, all those different things that he talks about. Blessing. Well, and somebody will say, well, you know, what does that mean? A blessing. What does the word blessed mean? Well, that word blessed has the idea, and we always think of it this way, of happy. We think of, so I want to preach to you today about how to get your happy on. How to get your happy on. I'll tell you, we need to get happy today, don't we? We need to be happy. We need to understand that God has intended for us to have. Now, I'm not talking about just earthly happiness. I'm not talking about just, boy, you know, I'm just happy, got a smile. It goes beyond that. It's really a word that deals with, well, somebody said it this way. It's happiness on steroids, all right? It's happiness that is bulked up. It is happiness that is multiplied. It is happiness that is enlarged. It's better than just happy. It is joy. It is having a joyful heart, a joyful attitude, and a joyfulness about your life. It's happy, 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 happy. Amen. I mean, it's a whole lot of happy. And if you look at it, and we will just real quickly here, look at this, how the psalmist pins this down. There is a way and a thought in this about how that God is intending for me and you to understand we are a blessed people. You see that? He said, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Well, what does it take to understand or to realize the blessings that God has? Well, I think a couple of things in this, just right off the top and maybe by way of introduction, is this, that worldly wisdom does not bring us heaven's blessings. Worldly wisdom. Now, you know, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not, nor standeth in, nor sitteth in. There are some things he starts out here with a negative that sometimes a lot of folks in this world think are positives. If I can just get around this crowd or this person or this group or whatever it is, then boy, I'll be happy. But if you'll see that, as the writer starts out, he says, it's not in the worldly wisdom. It's not in the things that, but you need wiser counsel than what this world can give. You need something wiser than what this world can give. So let's look at it, if you will. Maybe we'll split this up in these few little verses and understand what he's saying. But he starts off this, like I say, it seems like it's kind of a negative, but it is for our good. First of all, I say that the psalmist says this. He says, first of all, you and I need to consider those that are our companions. Consider those that are our companions. Who are you running with? What kind of crowd are you mixed up with? You see what he said? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He said, first of all, man, you need to consider those that are your companions. In other words, what he's saying is, in those things, as I said, in that worldly wisdom, in that worldly words that they want to offer of advice, brother, there's a lot of trouble in that. There's a lot of sorrow in that. And there's not really any true wisdom. There's not any true wisdom in any of those things. Why is that, preacher? Well, first of all, he talks about you need to look out for the words of the ungodly. You see that? He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's ungodly folks in this world, and they'll try to give you and say, here's what you need to do. They're trying to give you some kind of counsel, but you and I need to understand, we don't need the counsel. We don't need the advice. We don't need the direction. We don't need the instruction that comes from those that are ungodly. But can I tell you, they're out there. right? They're out there. I mean, they'll say, well, you want to get ahead in business, let me show you something. Well, isn't that a little shady? Well, yeah, it might be, but let me just show you anyway, you know. Or it might not be what somebody else would do. It might not be this and it might not be. Brother, I want to tell you something. Hey, you better stay away from ungodly counsel. He said, if you're walking with them, you need to watch those words that come from those that may give you some ungodly counsel. I mean, there's people that just, they just don't care. And look, the writer said, if you want to be blessed, here's something you need to consider. Here's something you need to look at. Here's something you need to watch. You need to consider those that are your companions. You look out, because first of all, you need to look out for the words of the ungodly. Second of all, he says, you don't want to stand in the way of sinners. And you know, as you go through this, you see that there's a progression. First of all, you're walking with them. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, well, this is just, you know, I'm on my way and I'm passing them and they're passing me and we're walking along. We'll come, we'll split, and we'll separate ways. But pretty soon, if you're not careful, you may be just thinking you're walking with them. Pretty soon, you'll stop and you'll stand with them. You'll be in that crowd of them if you're not careful. You'll be in that way. He said, he standeth in the way of sinners. Oh, listen, I've been there. I'm sure probably every one of you in this room have been there at some time in your life. Those that were your companions and your friends and those that you ran, that crowd you run around with, brother, they were the sinful folks. And you know what? You stood with them. You rubbed elbows with them. I mean, you put your arm around their shoulder. You joked together. You laughed together. You drank together. You cussed together. And you ran around and did all kinds of... Brother, I'm telling you, the Lord said, if you want to have my blessings, that's not the way to do it. It's not going to work. I don't care what this world says. Oh, well, you know, we was talking a little bit this morning, Brother Alvin, about some people that, you know, get in church. And I've known them, and you have too. They get in churches because, well, that's the place to hobnob. That's the place where I'll make business contacts. That's the place where I'll meet people. That's the place where I might find some advancement. Brother, you better wake up. That's not the intent of God, and that's not the blessings of God in those sort of things. Amen? He said, you don't want the words of the ungodly. And you don't need to be around where you're mixed up with the standing in the way of the sinner. But look at that last one. He said, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Before you know it, you will have progressed so far. You're not just walking with them. You're not just standing around with them. Pretty soon you're sitting down among them. I mean, you just take a seat and say, well, I'll just sit here and see what I can learn. Let's just see what this is going to advantage me, what this is going to teach me, what this is going to tell me. And when you sit down there, you know what happens? Hey, you begin to hear all those ideas, as he said, that come from the scornful. I mean, the scorner. What does a scorner do? Well, a scorner would be a person that'd say, you don't really go down there at that old church, do you? I mean, do you? You go down. Where all them people, they get loud and they sing them songs about Jesus. You don't believe all that stuff, do you? I mean, you don't think, well, that's not, that. You don't need to get mixed up with that. You don't need to be part of that crowd. Oh, no, let me tell you. Why? Pshaw on that old time religion. Well, my mama used to be, but I've done away with her. I don't want to be like her. I'm not going to follow that. I'm telling you, that's what a scorner does. They try to get you, they belittle it, they talk about it, they drag it through as much mud as they can, and they try to discourage you from ever being like those folks that are really blessed with the Lord. That's what I'm saying. You need to be careful of who you're running around with. You need to be careful of who your companionship lies with. I mean, listen, you can get with that crowd, and before long, you'll be like that crowd. Amen? I know there's a lot of folks that say, oh, well, preacher, I started out in this thing, and I seen that bunch, and they just kind of talked me into drinking. And then they talked me into taking some drugs. And then they talked me into this and that and the other. Pretty soon, just full blown into being a thief and a liar and a gambler and wind up in trouble with the law. And you know what? Well, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean for that. I'm telling you, first of all, you need to consider those that are your companions. Can I tell you again? Mamas and daddies do have a little bit of sin. They do know what they're talking about, because many of them have been there. They've been through it. They've been exposed and maybe even got into it. But thank God the Lord got them out of it. Amen. I mean, I'm just telling you, when you get into some of these things so deep, it's tough to get out of it once you get into it. That's one of the things. You talk to some of these little teenage kids that think they're some kind of little hoodlum, some kind of little gang member. What? They get in so deep that they think they'll never get out. And buddy, I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to get you out is Jesus. The only thing that's going to make a change and a difference in your life. So listen, he starts out and says, look, you need to consider those that are your companions. But second of all, you need to concentrate on where you're going to have your communion. What are you going to be really concentrated on? Look what he said. Blessed is the man that doesn't do these things. But look in verse number 2. But here's a blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You want to know the true path to blessing, the blessedness, the happiness, the contented life, the joy that there is? Hey, right here's where you really get on the bus. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Well, first of all, what you need to do is do this. You need to put this thing in reverse if you're with that other crowd. You need to put it in reverse. You need to get out of that bad situation that maybe you're getting drawn into. You need to kind of back up from that and say, wait a minute, I don't need to be with this crowd. I need to reconsider. Can I tell you, I think there's a lot of saved folks sometimes that get into some of those situations, and if they're not careful, they'll get drug in. If they're not careful, they'll be pulled. If they're not careful, they'll get out into the deep water. I'm telling you, friend, the best thing you can do is get your little gear shift and throw it up in R for reverse and back up out of that kind of mess. Get your life out of that place. Get away from those. I don't care. There's a lot of folks say, well, you know, they're my friend. Well, they may be your friends, but they're not really doing you a bit of good. Find you some new friends. Find you somebody that loves God, somebody that's got their mind on worship, somebody that's got their heart where it ought to be with heaven. Hey, you need to find you a new group to run around with. Put that thing in reverse. The good thing about it is there are some folks out there that you can run around with that are not of that ungodly sort. There's some folks out there. You can find them. I mean, hey, let me tell you, one of the best places you find them most of the time, down at the local church, amen? Come in there and find you a group to get with. That's the best advice that I can give. And I know, I've been in some churches. You got to watch some of them church folks too. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm just telling you, the best place that you'll find some place of real communion is down at the house of God. Find you some friends there. Find you some young folks that are like-minded. Find you some young folks that's got, they want their walk and their life and their doings to line up with the things out of the Word of God. I'm just telling you. And not only that, hey, if you think, well, I can't find one, be one. Amen. Just make yourself, he said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Can I tell you, like the song sometimes that Brother Logan sings is about going to the garden. I go to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Hey, aren't you glad that he'll meet with you there and he'll sit with you and he'll bless you and he'll put his arm around you and he'll let the Holy Ghost of God come and be in your presence? Amen. And that's what you need sometimes. You need to put it in reverse and get away from that other crowd. I mean, you need to get out of that lawlessness and begin to follow the law of the Lord. But not only that, put it in reverse. But then get into the Word and begin to ruminate on that Word. A lot of folks say, preacher, what does that word ruminate mean? You know what an old cow does? You ever watch a cow? Cow gets down there, gets that grass and begins to chew it. They chew it and swallow that stuff. You know what they do after a while? You look over and they're chewing it again. Where does that come? It's because they're what we call ruminants. Ruminants will take what's in their belly and they'll spit it up into their mouth. Boy, isn't that a real holy thing to think about? They spit it back and they begin to chew on it again. Oh, that's exactly what the writer is saying here. You take the Word of God and throughout your day, throughout your week, you ruminate. You chew on that thing all day long. You ever get that? I know Sister Darla talks about it a lot of times, about she gets a song in her head and it won't get out, right? She'll come in sometimes she'll say, well, you know what the song of the day is? I mean, sometimes they just get in there and they're there, aren't they? You ever had one of those where it just kind of gets in there? Me and Lynn will be walking around and all of a sudden one of us is humming something. She'll say, where'd you get it? I don't know. It just jumped into my head and we're singing it and we're humming it and it gets, hey, it's one of those things that you just sit there and think over and over and over. And I'll tell you, the more you do it, the better that it gets, right? Well, that's exactly the way the Word of God is. You get into the Word of God. He says here that a person should delight in the law of the Lord. That's the Word. When you get into the Word of God and you begin to delight in that, and you begin to say, Lord, just show me something out of this book. You sit down, look at your Bible, read it, and let God begin to open your heart and show you something, and then you can just chew on it all day long. Amen. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to meditate, to ruminate on that Word day and night. I mean, there's just something, and I'm telling you, you're going to need them sometimes in the time of trouble, aren't you? You're going to need them. There's going to be some things that you're going to need. Amen? Psalm 56:3, what does it say? What time I'm afraid, then will I trust in Thee. Amen? Hey, you'll need that somewhere. You need to chew on that a while. Let that get down on the inside of you. And then when you need it, it'll pop up. The 119th Psalm, I believe really that's the reason that it's written the way that it is written, because it's something that kids could learn and then they could sit there and recite and go over and over and over. And you know what that did? That builds up your faith in God. That builds up your knowledge about the things that God wants to show you. It will become a place where you can find the blessings that this writer is talking about. Blessed is the man that has his delight, he says, in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Just ruminate on that thing day and night. But I want you to know this. He also wants us to enjoy the refreshings of this. Listen to what he says. And he, the person that does this in verse number 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A person that does this, you want to learn how to get you happy? Huh? How can I be happy in this old crazy world? Can I tell you, troubles and sorrows and problems are still going to come, but you can still have that contented happiness and joy from the Lord, because he says right here, if you'll do that, he said, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Drive out through the park sometime. You want to take yourself a little drive, go down through the Chickamauga Military Park, and you know what you'll see out there? Go out through there right now and you'll see trees down everywhere. They got rotten. They've been hit by the storms. They've been pushed and shoved by the other trees around there. I mean, some stuff has happened to those trees. And you know where they are? They're down on the ground. Look at some of them and you'll see that. Boy, that thing looks like it's dead. It looks like it's rotten. Looks like it's hollow on the inside. You know that's what happens. Can I tell you? You get one of them over by the water. Over there by the rivers of the water, where the water can feed them, where the water can supply them, where the water can enliven them, where the water can give them everything that they need, and they begin to grow. And even though the storm comes, and even though the winds blow, and even though things begin to happen to them, they're still standing strong and tall because their roots are deep and their nourishment is good. Can I tell you, that's the way it is with me and you. You get in the Word of God, things will still happen to you, But you can be rooted and grounded like those trees that he's talking about. You see that? He makes it very plain. He said, look, if you'll do that, he shall be like. You'll be like one of those trees that's by the rivers of waters. And you know what you'll do? Hey, you may endure some stormy times. You may have some winds. You may have some hard days. You may have some hot sunshine drying out, but you'll be right there by the source of your life, which is that life-giving water. What is that? That's the Word of God. Right there by the Word of God, you know what? Hey, stuff will still happen. But man, you'll be able to make it through those times because there's something on the inside of you that this world doesn't have. Amen? Some of you, probably, a lot of you probably had a rough week this past week, hadn't you? I don't even want to look at my 401k, preacher. I don't want to look at what's going on with the stock market. You know what? If you'll tap into the right stuff, you won't let that stuff tear you down. Amen? I mean, it won't be the end of the world. Trust me. God's still going to take care of me and you. He's still able to feed the birds of the air every day. He's still able to meet the needs of those that are his children all along the way. Amen? What I'm saying is this. You need to have a delight and a rootedness in the Word of God. When you do, some of these things on the outside won't affect you and hurt you so badly as some people think that they will. But thirdly, let's look at this. As you come down to the end of this psalm in verses 4, 5, and 6, he begins to make a little comparison of some things. He compares the consequence of each situation. The consequence. What's the consequence of the ungodly versus the consequence of the one that's blessed? Well, listen to what he says in verse number 4. He says, the ungodly are not so. What does he mean? They are not like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They are not prospering and blossoming and having their fruit in their season. That's not happening. He said, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. He said, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see that? I want to tell you this. You see those consequences that happen, and there's, you know, you see both of those, and you can kind of compare those two. First of all, you see that God's in every bit of this, and God knows the condition of each one of those two groups. He knows the condition. He knows the condition of the ungodly. And he knows the condition of those that are godly. He knows. In other words, God knows what you've got this morning sitting here in this house. You can fool me. You can fool people. You can fool even your family sometimes. But can I tell you, God knows the condition of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this house. Oh, you can have a little angelic smile and you can be polite and you can do all the right things and say, you know all the little Christian words and sayings and all the things to do. You can do every bit of that. But can I tell you, God knows your condition this moment. You're not fooling anybody. God sees you. God's looking at you. He knows what your heart. He knows when you're saying, boy, I wish that preacher would shut up. Oh, let me tell you, sometimes the Holy Ghost of God will come and get on you. God knows your condition. God knows where you stand. God knows whether your name's written up above or not. You might fool me. Your name might be on a church roll book. Your name, you might have been baptized 40-11 times, brother. But I'm telling you, until God knows that you're his, then he knows your condition is otherwise. God knows the condition. You see, he says right here, the ungodly are not like the godly. They are not so, but they're like the chaff. He said, they're just a husk that gets blown away with the wind. Oh, it may look, you know, there's a lot of folks say, well, and I guess I'm one of them. You get into that farm and stuff, and I can't tell a good piece of grain from a bad, I mean, I'm looking at them, and sometimes they look the same. You remember the story that Jesus tells about the wheat and the tares? and the workers come in and they say, Master, an enemy's come in and he's sown tares among the wheat and they look so much alike. What are we going to do? How are we going? He said, let them alone. Because in the end, hey, the master knows which one's wheat and which one's tares. And he'll do the separating. There'll be a separation day coming. I'm telling you, God knows your condition. God knows where you're at this morning. God knows the condition of the ungodly and the godly. But not only that, he knows the condition of these. He knows the course of both of these, and he shows us. He says, therefore, because the ungodly are not like the godly, because their condition is different, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Oh, let me tell you, there's going to be people try to stand before God. God, can I tell you what good I did, how good I was, all the things? God's going to say, I know your condition. You're not fooling me, and you're certainly not what you purport to be, what you're saying, but God knows the course. It says here in verse number 5, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's a way for both of those. The ungodly go one way, and the righteous go another way. And God knows the course of both of them. Again, you can have everybody fool you, but God knows the course you're taking. God knows when it's down in your heart, I really don't want to do this, but I want to look good. I really don't like this. I don't think this. I don't even want to be here. Whatever it is. God knows every bit of that stuff that's going on the inside. He knows the course that you're taking. He knows, boy, I'm telling you, he knows those that come into church house and their heart says, God, I want to worship you today. I want to love on you. I want you to love on me. I want to sing a song to Zion. I want to just get in there and hear the word of God. I want to join in with the saints in your worship. Hey, God knows the course that both of us are on. Amen. The godly and the ungodly. God knows every bit of that that's going on. The course in life that you're taking. You may think, boy, I'm sneaking this in. I'm gonna run in and nobody will ever. God knows the course that everybody in this room is on. He knows every bit of it. You're not hiding it. You're not getting by with it. You're not slipping it in and under. God knows the course. And God knows, as he says here in this last verse, God knows the way of the righteous. God knows the way, the course that you and I are. But it says the way of the ungodly, what's going to happen to it? It's going to perish. It's going to come to no good end. And God knows both of those. But then last of all, God knows the culmination of each of these. God knows how this thing is absolutely going to end. God knows. He knows who's going to heaven and who's not. And you know whose decision that ultimately it's his, because you're going to stand there and he's going to look and see, did this one trust in my son to redeem him from his sin, or was he trying to do it his own way, in his own righteousness, in his own, well, I'm just a self-made man. Can I tell you, all those self-made men and women and children, they're all going to find a place in hell. And that's not pleasant to talk about, and that's not really what we want. But I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. And the culmination of this thing, God knows how it's all to end. I don't. Well, I've been with far too many folks. And out there at that graveyard, and you go and you feel like, a lot of folks feel like, boy, this is the end. I'm telling you, that's just the beginning. And it's either heaven or hell. As this thing here culminates, the way of the godly leads to a crown of life. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a great thing to think of when you come down to the end of the way? And boy, you know what Paul said? Paul said, I want to tell you something, Timothy. The time of my departure is at hand. Amen. And he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all those that also love his appearing. Amen? You looking for Jesus today? If you're not, you'll be like the rich man over in the book of Luke, where it says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and just a drop of it on my tongue to help me in this flame. I'm tormented in these flames. And Abraham looked at him and said, I'm sorry. That cannot happen. In your lifetime, you had all the good things. Lazarus had evil. Now he's comforted and you're tormented. Can I tell you, there's a culmination to this thing. There's an end to all of this. And it's going to end up one way or another. I told you here the other day, somebody said it's kind of like real estate. Everybody's going to die. And after that, all you got to worry about is location, location, location. Right? Where are you going to wind up this morning? The psalmist said, blessed is the man. Oh, that delights in the law of the Lord. That's like a tree planted by the water. That is going to have his fruit. That's going to prosper. He said, he's got the right kind of culmination in this thing. But the ungodly are not. So, you're not going. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry to inform you. But without Jesus, you're not going to make it. Without Jesus, do you have Jesus as your Savior today? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of some song this morning. I'm wanting for us to be happy. I'm wanting us to be that blessed person. I'm wanting everybody in this room to have that. But there's some that don't. And the best place you can come is at the foot of the cross and say that you're believing in Jesus. You know, next week, most everybody's going to probably preach on something about the Easter story, the resurrection, all of that. And the story of the thief on the cross may be part of that for somebody. As that thief was there with Jesus on the cross, and after he had heard everything, seen some things, then he looked over at Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, there are some people that said, some of these liberal scholars,